The JSE-listed South African property sector has had a rough time of it, particularly in the past couple of years, with 2018 notably a particularly poor performing year as investors got jittery about a number of property counters, which had a contagion effect on others. Aside from that, the dynamics of the property sector on the ground have been difficult, reflecting a poorer macroeconomic environment that these companies operate in. Despite the challenges, though, is there still value to be had in investing in some real estate investment trusts? Well, to give us his take on the sector, I'm joined on the line by Richard Colburn. He's an equity analyst at Sanlam Private Wealth. Thanks for coming on the show, Richard. So let's do a bit of a history of the JSE-listed property sector. For a number of years, the sector was delivering supreme returns, and then it seemed to sharply fall last year. Just give us a picture of how the sector has evolved.
Firstly, Nampu, thank you very much for having me on the show today. The sector has evolved dramatically. What we've seen, as you've mentioned, is a significant pricing correction. I mean, as you said, the listed property space outperformed the All B and the All Share over the last number of years. And then ever since January 2018, the sector is almost down by over 20.5% year to date. Mm. You know, a number of factors which can explain the fall. Firstly, you have the resilience stable, which has seen a significant pricing correction. Also, to give context there, the resilience stable at one stage is almost half of the index. And there we've seen a number of counters fall significantly in value. Then over that time frame as well, what we've seen movement or fluctuation in the currency, which has also affected the local listeds because of the growing presence of offshore investment, which you've seen.
Yes.
But more importantly, and of late, we've actually seen a deterioration or a sustained deterioration in the operating environment.
Hmm. And just in terms of what you're talking about, in terms of the currency, hasn't Rand weakness been beneficial for these property counters that are in other parts of the world?
Yes, of course. Rand weakness has definitely played a role for some of our local funds. As they've started growing their offshore exposure. So in general, we have seen a rand weakness trend, which has come through nicely for the counters. A number of counters have actually hedged in their exchange rate exposure. So from that degree, their earnings are a lot more predictable.
Mm.
And generally, they do like the rand hedge capability, given the purchasing power of parity, where they sort of see the rand depreciating relative to offshore currencies.
Mm.
But just to give context again to what I was saying, in that specific segment, you know, since January, in the early parts of 2018, we actually saw the rand appreciate against the other currencies. So
yes.
From that perspective, we saw minor, but the main culprit, I think, was the resilient stable pullback.
Mm. So people of your ilk talk about attractive yields, and I suppose that's a relative subject because you would need to look at factors like, you know, where inflation is and so on. What other asset classes are returning relatively good returns relative to the property sector?
Well, for us at the moment, we continue to see, and especially if we look at it from a top-down perspective or macroeconomic view, for us relative to bonds at the moment, we're actually starting to see some value appear in listed property relative to bonds, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this has occurred in the past where we've actually seen in sort of 2003, 2004, and then again in 2009, where listed property yields were higher than relative to bonds. And it's at these sort of moments where we need to take a step back and again identify relative value between the asset classes.
And in terms of the property market now, if you're looking at the yields on property investments, what would be an attractive yield?
You know, I think that's a very good question, but I'd like to unpack that question slightly in a sense of how we value our counters.
Yes.
So on top of the top-down or macroeconomic perspective, which I've just painted for you, that listed property is starting to look attractive relative to bonds. What's important for us is that we actually have a look at what we consider to be a bottom-up perspective. And what we focus on in particular is the ability of listed property counters to grow their distributions.
Mm.
Now, there are a number of ways in which they can do this. They can increase rentals of existing space. They can increase rentals for new tenants coming in. They can lease up vacant space within the portfolio. And then they can acquire revenue-enhancing property where there's a positive spread between the cost of debt and acquisition yield. And then, of course, they can manage and reduce the costs associated to the property portfolio in question. Now, what we've seen locally is that these mechanisms from which to drive distribution growth are starting to come under pressure. And this is purely because of, as I mentioned before, the deteriorating operating environment that's currently going on in South Africa. You know, what we see is that there's continued or sluggish economic growth coming through, rising operating costs. We've got consumers who are struggling. We've got low employment figures coming through. And there's also a general sense of depressed business confidence. Now, what this does is actually affect, as I said, the ability of these listed counters to grow their distribution. Now, putting this all together, we do see that there is value relative to the bonds for listed property, but we remain quite skeptical or cautious, may I say, in the listed property space. So what we've been trying to do is actually we've started seeing value appear, but again, you know, it's been quite confined to certain segments of the market.
What South African property companies have you identified as embracing some of the success traits that you've just outlined to us, and which would you suggest are worth investing in?
So a company which we've fortunately been involved with since their listing is Storage. It's a listed REIT, and they specialize in self-storage across South Africa and in the UK. You know, what differentiates them is that the assets are located in prime locations within dense nodes, and management has sustainably grown rentals to improve operational performance and the expansion of their existing asset base. You know, what we like, given the economic cycle we're currently going through, is that they've got a large and diverse tenant base. But more importantly, they've got a strong operating system where they are able to capture the improvement or drivers of rental growth. You know, we, as I said, we've been fortunate to hold onto the stock, but, you know, it's trading on a forward yield of just over 7.8%. This is something that the market has cottoned on to after some time. So the good news is starting to be priced into the stock, but, you know, we continue to be happy holders of this. Another stock which we also have held for some time now is Equitas. They have also managed to differentiate themselves in the sense that they are specialists, providers of logistics space, both locally and in the UK. And again, it's just management's understanding of the product, what the market needs, the demand in the market itself for the new age industrial logistical sense is still growing. And we are very comfortable with their ability to allocate capital from that perspective. And for both these counters in particular is that in order to, you know, for these specialist niche funds, what we really like is the pragmatic approach to management of the balance sheet. And what I mean by that is not taking on gearing for the sake of taking on gearing.
Yes, yes. As the South African economy goes through a certain season, presumably the other thing is that if you're a long-term investor, you've heard that expression that you can't go wrong with property because it will at one point or another be utilized, especially in busy, densely populated locations. What are your thoughts on that sentiment?
I think there's some truth in that. To my mind, I think also what's important to note is, especially with listed property or property in general, is the contractual nature of the asset class. In a sense, what I mean by that is you've got an agreement between a tenant and a landlord, and with that, there's almost a lag to the operating environment. In a sense that even though conditions may have started weakening 2 to 4 years ago already in South Africa, we're only starting to see the effect of that now as tenants' leases are coming up for renewal or tenants are exiting and landlords actually need to look for new tenants. Now, to answer your question, through time, property is a fantastic asset class. You know, listed property adds on certain advantages. We're able to buy and sell more quickly, have certain exposure to certain assets, and you also have specialist management teams taking care of these assets, which reduces the, you know, the burden of owning a direct property.
Yes.
Over time, we do like the yield that comes through. But again, for us, and something that's embedded in our investment philosophy is that price is the cornerstone of our investment philosophy. What we like to do, and this is a sort of through the cycle approach, you must look at the entry point of your investment. You must make sure that you don't overpay and you understand the dynamics and the drivers of the market. And from a healthy or good price entry point, it's less likely that there is risk for capital loss. Whereas if you and I were having a conversation, let's say at the end of December 2017, as I spoke about when property yields were significantly lower, that to our mind would have been an expensive entry point. And to my mind, again, just to reiterate, you know, the minute you're dealing with property, high valuations, there's to our mind is there's a risk for capital loss there.
That was Richard Colburn. He's an equity analyst at Sanlam Private Wealth.